Our reading today is the last in our present series, and it's taken from Acts in chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray for Phil. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given to Phil. Please just remind him of them. Bring your anointing upon him and use him to speak your words to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So we began a couple of weeks ago by asking the question, why should I share my faith? You might remember me talking about Jesus describing himself as the bread of life and the living water, and how these things are essential, and that if you had these things, of course you'd want to share them. And of course we talk about it as the good news, and if you had good news, you want to share it. You know, if you've become a grandparent, or if someone you know is getting married, if you've got some exciting news, it's not that you feel, "Oh, I suppose I better share it." You can't help but share it, can you? It kind of bubbles out of you. So we're talking about why we should share our faith. And last week we started with part one, really, of this talk, which is how can I share my faith, part one. Paul preached here last week, and he gave me a little recap of what he said on the train back up from London on Tuesday. And apparently he began with saying that we're all empowered by the Holy Spirit. But I want to expand that a little bit to say that we are all called, empowered, and sent by God. So there's a nice little trinity in there as well. So we're called, we're empowered, and we're sent. We're called by God the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and sent by the Son, by Jesus. Every Christian is a sent Christian. The posh word for that is an apostle. Every Christian is an apostle, somebody who is sent, a sent one. There's no such thing as an unsent Christian. So Jesus' final command, his great commission, is to go and to make disciples. The hint is in the two-letter word, go. If someone says go, then you're sent. And of course, we finish each service by me saying, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Because the point of this morning's service isn't what goes on in here, but what goes on out there. So we come and we receive, we worship, we hear from Scripture, we break bread, we take the body and the blood, and then we go and we share it in the world. We go in peace to love and serve. So Paul last week talked about being straight in our talking. It's not about high theology and doctrine, thankfully, but it's about sharing our own story. That's why we've called these talks, How Can I Share My Faith? Not how can I argue with someone about doctrine, or how can I prove that an atheist is stupid and wrong? No, it's about how can I share my faith, my experience, my story, what God means to me. And those kind of conversations aren't an argument. They're about saying, well, for me, this is what God means. Not, oh, you're wrong because of this verse in the Bible or that thing that it says. No, it's about, this is how I experience God in my life. Paul also spoke about being obedient to God, and that fits really well with today's passage. So you might want to open a Bible. There should be one in the chair in front of you. It's Acts 8, verse 26. And if someone can find it and shout out the page number, that'd be really useful, because I've got it written on my notes here. I haven't got the actual book in front of me. So if someone wants to find it. 1101. Great, you get a lollipop. If we're in a Sunday school, first person that finds the... I haven't got any lollipops, but I'll find one for you later. So, Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go, there's that word again, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. So right from the start, it is about hearing from God. The angel of the Lord said, go south, and then obeying what you hear. So a bit like Sally was saying this morning about that journey to ordination, she spoke about hearing from God. That might have been in an audible voice. It's probably more likely that she just had a sense. Maybe it was through conversations that she had with people. But we hear God's call. Now, we're not all called to be ordained, thankfully, but we are all called. So God is speaking into our lives. And sometimes people think, well, I've never heard God speak. But God speaks through that book that some of you have got in front of you. God has spoken. So sometimes we hear God in audible ways, very occasionally, or we get a sense of what God's saying. But what God has for us is already written down in that book. We're called to go and to make disciples. We're called to love God with everything we have and to love others. So we all have our calling. It's about hearing that call and then obeying it. So we carry on, verse 27. So he started out, he obeyed that call. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go, again we get that word, go to the chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. So the Spirit is leading and guiding Philip. He says go, and on the way he encounters this man, and then the Spirit continues to instruct him. And I love that it says that Philip ran, that he didn't kind of hesitatingly wonder, oh, shall I sort of hover around and see what happens? No, he ran. I've recently started running myself. So my wife Beck's really into running, and my parents are really into running, my brother's really into running and his partner, so I kind of couldn't avoid it anymore. Sally's really into running too as well, aren't you, Sally, and her husband. So everywhere I look, there's running people, and so I thought, well, I better join them. And to start with, I was a little bit sceptical. I thought, well, it's the sort of thing, you know, it's a bit like eating vegetables. You might not necessarily enjoy it, but you know it's good for you. But actually, I love it. Now I've started getting into it, I love it. And there's a moment when you, sort of in the first mile when you set off for a run, when you haven't got to that point where it's painful or exhausting, when you think, this is amazing, all the endorphins are going, I don't really know the science behind it, but this amazing feeling that you get, this high that you get as you start off on that first mile, where you feel, I was born to do this. You're striding along. A bit later on, you're thinking, I'm dying now. But at that moment, you think, I was born to do this. It's a really good feeling. And I think, apparently, we sort of were born to do it. Our bodies are physically made. You might think, well, my body's not. But our bodies are made for running. You know, that's one of the reasons why we survived so well, kind of going back, you know, through the ages when we were hunting and gathering. It wasn't because we were stronger than the other animals or necessarily because we were smarter. We might like to think we are. But it was more because we could run further. We could run for long distances, and so we could hunt those packs of animals and things. So in a way, we were born to do it, and that's why maybe it feels like that. So Philip ran. He ran in this call to obedience. He didn't step forward hesitatingly. He ran. God has directed him via the Spirit, and he's running in obedience. Are we ready to run? To get excited about what God may be leading, where God may be leading us? That might be as individuals or as a church. Are we excited about what God might be doing in our midst? Verse 30. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" That's a great question, isn't it? A great opening line. Not, "I have been sent here by God to tell you the truth and to tell you that if you don't listen to me, you're going to go to hell." It's not that question. It's not that statement. It's, "Do you understand what you're reading? Would you like some help? Would you like to learn more?" It's a friendly and open question. And I was thinking about some similar questions that we might have kind of up our sleeves, as it were, as we're talking to people, friends, neighbours, colleagues who maybe don't know Jesus. Here are some questions that might be good opening questions. What do you think life is all about? That's a big open question. What do you think life is all about? Or what's the most important thing to you? Because then you do some listening and you find out what's most important to that person. What do you think happens when we die? That's a good question, isn't it? We're all facing death. What do you think happens when we die? And the final one that I could think of is, if God existed and you could ask one question, what would it be? That's always the opening question on Alpha when we get into our small groups on the first week. If God existed, so you're not presuming that God does, because that person might not think they do. God does exist. If God existed and you could ask one question, what would it be? And that really gets to the heart of those questions that are burning inside somebody. And it leads to a really open discussion. And maybe you have your own question. I don't want to feed you lines that you can then say in your friendship circle, because it has to be something that comes out of you naturally. But Philip asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the response is, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. Perfect, isn't it? So it then says, verse 31, so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And I love that because it's at his level. It's not someone up here in a pulpit telling you this is what the Bible says. He sits alongside him and he helps him to understand it. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And the eunuch invites him up. He says, come and help me understand. The eunuch wanted to learn more. He invites Philip to explain more. Verse 32. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. When we read that passage, we automatically think of Jesus, don't we? And we have a whole set of pictures in our mind, probably, to do with Jesus on the cross. And it might be from films that you watched in the 70s or 80s or more recently, or images. Or it might be that picture at the back of church. When we read those kind of images, we're automatically drawn to that. But of course, for the eunuch, he didn't have that story and those images in his head. So the eunuch asked Philip, verse 34, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage. So he started where they were at, began with that passage of scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. So Philip began where the eunuch was at, so we need to start where people are at. And then that was something that Paul was saying last week, actually, talking about starting where people are. And then Philip began with that passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip shared the good news. And again, that good news was inside of Philip, ready to come out. It wasn't kind of a forced line, evangelistic trick that he had. It naturally came out. He said, oh, let me tell you. It's really exciting. Let me tell you something that I know. We need to share the good news, but we also need to be the good news. We live in a world of bad news, don't we? And fake news. That's all we seem to get. It's either fake or it's bad. And we have good news. We have hope. We need to be good news and share good news. And sometimes we forget it. We forget the good news. We forget that we are loved by God, that we're called by God, that we're forgiven, that we're set free, that we have an eternal future with him. We forget that because, well, life is tough, and because we don't often stay in that place of worship and prayer. We're busy and we get distracted and we get down. We need to remind ourselves of that because we live in a world of bad news. Apparently, child psychologists and therapists have recently discovered a new phenomenon while working with young people, which is climate change anxiety. So there's a lot in the news, isn't there, and in the media and in the culture about climate change. And of course, we do need to do something about this problem. It is a crisis. We need to stop damaging our planet And we're called to care for it, particularly as Christians. It's there in Scripture, isn't it? We're called to care for the planet. But we know the end of this story. We know what's called the eschatology, the end times. We know that all that God has made will be redeemed and will be made new. So while it's right that we need to fight and campaign and work to save the planet, we don't need to do that with anxiety. We can do it free from anxiety. We can do it in trust and hope and love. So we need to share the good news and we need to be the good news. It's no good preaching good news if you're bad news yourself. You know, if you're a complainer or a gossip or if you're a killjoy. The things that are at the heart of who God is and who we are to be, that fruit is, of course, love, joy, peace, kindness, compassion. How we are and who we are is important. This week, my gran died, my mum's mum. And if I was to think of one word, and I've been thinking about this because I'm going to be speaking at her funeral, one word that summed up my gran, it would be kindness. She was just a really kind person. She didn't, you know, write any books or do anything amazing. She didn't travel very much in her life. But she was a really kind person. And that was who she was. That was her character. And I believe that was given her by God, because I believe all good things, including kindness, come from God. So I could see God in her all through my life. Verse 36, as they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? What can stand in the way of being baptized? What can stop us? Or why not? What's stopping us? And that's a really good question. I remember someone saying to me that in terms of evangelism and sharing faith, a good question to ask somebody, maybe once you've had those discussions about life after death or those big questions, is to say, well, what is stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? What's getting in the way of that? What's stopping you? And it'll be interesting to see what comes out, because people may have some valid reasons or some big reasons. They might say, well, religion is bad, isn't it? You know, religion causes wars, or, well, I'm not good enough. I can't be one of those church-going people. That's just not me. Or there's too much bad in the world. How can I trust God when there's too much bad in the world? And these are all good things to talk through with somebody. And you can even say, well, I struggle with that too. You know, be honest. It's not about having all these watertight answers for people. It's about saying, yeah, I really struggle with that. But share that and say, but despite those questions, despite those uncertainties, I have found that when I trust God, that this happens. Or since I've been believing in Jesus, I've found that this is the case. So you can say, I still have some of those questions, but I continue on this journey. And maybe that will be the thing that someone says, yeah, well, why not? What's stopping us, like it said in this passage? Verse 38. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So Philip sealed the deal. And it might seem like sealing the deal is a bit of a business term and not appropriate for somebody coming to faith. But when you think about the seal of the Holy Spirit, so in Ephesians 1, verse 13, it says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So we need to be ready to help people on this journey, as it says in this passage, to hear, to believe, and to receive. So you heard the message of truth, you believed it, and then you were marked in him with a seal, the seal of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we don't do this alone. Being a Christian is not a solo project. And sharing our faith with people is not a solo project either. As I said earlier, at the hearing in London, I was sharing with the judge about how we belong to a community. We're not in this alone. We want to be a church that is shaped in order to help people hear, believe, and receive. And that's why inviting people to things is really important to us. Having those invite events like Pints of You and doing Alpha regularly is important to us, because we want to help people to come to faith in Jesus. We don't want to be a church that has closed doors. We want to be a church that has open doors, that goes out and shares this good news. So in summary, how can I share my faith? Well, this passage tells us how. We need to listen to God. We need to take opportunities. We need to ask questions. We need to share the good news and be the good news. And we need to seal the deal with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this amazing story that sets out so well for us how we are to share our faith with others. And Lord, in this passage, we see an amazing opportunity where things just seem to fall into place. And it maybe often doesn't feel like that for us when we're trying to stumblingly share our faith with our friends and those who we know. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us those opportunities and that we would be ready to respond and take those opportunities when they come along. That you'd help us to ask open questions and not to preach at people, but to share the good news and to be the good news. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in us and in people's lives so that they're ready to hear, to receive, and to respond to your call. Lord, remind us of the good news that we have in you, that it may bubble out of us, that we may share it with others. And help us to be a church that is shaped in order to share this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.